You've worked hard for what you have, your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Mark Kay from The Mark Kay Show. You hear me every day from 10 a.m. to noon on News 104.5 WOKV. First of all, thanks for listening to The Mark Kay Show podcast. Second, if you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Burrish Daily Discussion podcast and Jacksonville's Morning News interviews. And don't forget to head to iTunes and Google Play and leave a review. Thanks for listening.
I've got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
2 full hours of the Mark Kay Show starts right now.
It's 23 or 24. We're trying to figure it out. We're getting mixed reports. It's either 23 Democratic candidates running for governor, or for president rather, or 24, now that Mayor of New York City Bill de Blasio has officially thrown his hat into the ring. And I have to tell you, this is one of the most bizarre, we're miles away from the finish line, and this is one of the most bizarre election cycles so far already. We have 20, the other Josh is telling me 23 officially. We have officially 23. All right, we're getting confirmation from Sky. Everyone's looking at different websites, but I guess we've just averaged it together. It looks like there's 23 Democrats who have declared now that Bill de Blasio is getting it. Because Bill de Blasio looks at the other 22 and goes, I can beat all of them. This is the guy who was having a rally outside of Trump Tower in New York City and then had to go inside Trump Tower in New York City because it started to rain. And then he got heckled by all the Trump supporters that were inside Trump Tower because he was bashing Donald Trump in his own home. It was very bizarre, but he hadn't officially declared. And in fact, the way his whole campaign kind of came to be was a big cluster, you know what. And I'll tell you all about that first in just a minute. But here's basically Bill de Blasio throwing down the gauntlet against the president and against the other candidates and saying, I'm what's best for America.
I'm a New Yorker. I've known Trump's a bully for a long time. This is not news to me or anyone else here. And I know how to take him on. As president, I will take on the wealthy. I will take on the big corporations. I will not rest until this government serves working people.
It doesn't matter if you live in a city or a rural area, a big state, a small state. Doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. People in every part of this country feel stuck or even like they're going backwards. But the rich got richer.
Hey, speaking of people going backwards, that reminds me of Beto O'Rourke, which we'll get into here in just a minute, because that guy went from being almost a senator and raising $60 million in a state like Texas, one of the reddest states in the entire world, to being basically kind of a footnote on this election, falling into single digits behind Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and of course Joe Biden, who at this point is still burying everybody. His lead continues to rise despite all the, you know, sniffing, fondling allegations that continue to pop up. But it's such an interesting race. So Bill de Blasio planned this big major campaign. He was going to come out and he was going to do Rachel Maddow's show. He was going to do the Today Show. He was going to make this big announcement, and then he was going to go to Iowa and he was going to go to South Carolina and he was going to start his presidential campaign. And get this, a 17-year-old who runs an online email newsletter, 17-year-old kid, runs a political newsletter, wakes up every day before high school at 5 o'clock, types out a couple of headlines, sends it out. He has a circulation of 50,000 people. Kid's name is Gabe Fleischer. He's in St. Louis. This kid. So Bill de Blasio, the mayor of the largest city and most powerful city in the United States of America, his political machine gets a bug in it. And it's this 17-year-old kid, Gabe Fleischer, whose Wake Up to Politics newsletter, again, reaches 50,000 people every day. He said he was scrolling through a politics blog after school one day, and he paused about an announcement from a local wing of the Democratic Party in Sioux City, Iowa. They were inviting members to see de Blasio on Friday at the mayor's, quote, first stop on his presidential announcement tour. So a 17-year-old with an internet connection who runs a political blog, after doing his homework, finds this little tidbit about Bill de Blasio having a presidential announcement tour. The media didn't find it. CNN didn't find it. Fox News didn't find it. The New York Times didn't find it. The Washington Post. They're too busy worried about collusion and William Barr and Bob Mueller. And they're worried about what's going to happen now that William Barr is starting to investigate the origin of the Russian. They're still focused on Donald Trump and what a horrible person he is. They're basically ignoring every other piece of news. And this 17-year-old was easily able to uncover this invitation in Sioux City, Iowa, inviting Democrats to come and support Bill de Blasio. So he posts it on Twitter. Boom. All hell breaks loose. All of a sudden, everybody sees it. All of a sudden, they're getting calls at the mayor's office. Is Mayor de Blasio running? What's happening? Is he going to be in Sioux City, Iowa? Is he going to South Carolina next? Is all of this true? And this 17-year-old broke the story. They had to totally revamp the mayor's announcement. And now he's in crisis mode, because so far, I mean, he couldn't even contain the announcement of his presidential election. He couldn't even control that. Yet he wants to now control the entire race and the entire Democratic Party and the entire country as president. So that's interesting to see. Now, speaking of things, again, that were once golden and now have tarnished, Beto O'Rourke was once the golden child of the Democratic Party. But it seems like every time he does something, every time he goes out to promote himself and his campaign, something happens that just knocks him down four pegs. And yesterday he did something which I guess he's done in the past and used to be a good idea. He did what he calls an impromptu town hall meeting. And basically what it is he got his assistant to go live on Facebook, much like we do. We're live right now on Facebook. We're live on Twitch. Everybody loves live streaming. It's a great way to connect with people and get your information out there. So Beto O'Rourke is live streaming while he's at the barbershop getting a haircut. Let me play that for you here. I have a clip.
Robert, we're live streaming right now, just so that you know, on this camera. I was answering a question about higher education for people on Facebook who are kind of doing an impromptu town hall.
And, of course, what happens is people automatically, as they do on the Internet, start trolling him and making fun of him. And Twitter explodes. And they start making fun of how he's trying to be relatable by answering. In fact, one guy said, wow, this is so relatable. I literally just got a haircut last week. We're like the same person. So Beto O'Rourke is trying to be the common man. He's trying to reach out to the people. And he's doing it by showing people, I'm just like you. I'm not a rich elitist. I get my hair cut, too. I'm here in a barbershop. I've got my friend cutting. I think his name was Chima's barbershop is somewhere in Texas. And he just sat down. He got a trim. He got his neck shaved. He even got a little massage afterward, which was kind of creepy because he was sitting there in the chair moaning.
This feels good.
Oh, this feels good. Oh, this feels good.
This feels good.
What my favorite part was another guy who just wanted to get his haircut walks into the shop, sees what's happening, and he knows Beto O'Rourke from somewhere, but he just can't put his finger on it. Listen to this.
The guy on TV, is it the governor, mayor?
No, I had run for Senate. That's you seen me last year, now I'm running for president.
Wow, you great, yeah. Man. I've seen you all on TV.
Yeah. Wait, what were you? You ran for mayor? You ran for, what was it, Senate? No, wait.
The guy on TV, is it the governor, mayor?
No, I had run for Senate.
Oh, that's what I was saying. What is it? Your soil and water or school board? I saw you somewhere. You were under. Well, yeah, I love you, man. I love you. So he sat down with this guy at the barbershop who had no idea who he was. I mean, this is Beto O'Rourke. He almost became a senator from the state of Texas. He raised $60 million for his campaign, which I don't know what happened to any of that money. And when he came out of the gate with his Vanity Fair article and his big announcement in Texas with his thousands and thousands of crowd, he was going to rival any of the Trump rallies that had been so far this year. And now, not only can he not find a restaurant to jump up on top of the table and scream to people, he's in a barbershop, an empty barbershop. One guy comes in, doesn't even really know who he is. I've seen you on TV. I think you're the governor. No, that's not it. I know you're somebody, but man, I love you. And this is the kind of publicity stunt that Beto O'Rourke has been resigned to. That's the problem when you have 23 people running. You have to do really silly and bizarre things to make a splash. And when your ratings fall, like Beto O'Rourke's has, you have to do anything to claw your way back up to the top. And he figured the best thing to do to make himself popular again was to live stream a haircut. Now, I don't know if this worked or not, but it's all I saw on social media yesterday. And since I'm also kind of a social media whore myself and I'm always looking for free publicity, I thought if it's good enough for Beto, it's got to be good enough for us. If Beto thinks he could increase his popularity by live streaming a haircut, I feel like I can do the same thing. So here in just a minute, we've invited Will Todd from the soon-to-open Will Todd Barbershop in Oakleaf. We've invited him in here, and I will be live streaming and broadcasting a haircut here on the Markay Show. And we'll do an impromptu town hall. We'll also answer your questions. So if you have any questions, give us a buzz, 855-765-1045, or get on Facebook, or get on Twitch, or get on Periscope and let us know. It's the Markay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. We'll be right back. This is the Markay Show. My name is Markay. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hey, look, if you don't spend as much time on Facebook as the rest of us do, you missed Beto O'Rourke getting a haircut yet. It was riveting.
Robert, we're live streaming right now, just so that you know. On this camera, I was answering a question about higher education for people on Facebook who were kind of doing an impromptu town hall.
Yeah, he was doing an impromptu town hall with an audience of one at a barbershop in Texas, and he also got a massage, too, which apparently felt great.
This feels good.
I'm sorry, it felt good.
This feels good.
Yeah. 855-765-1045. And what I thought I would do is I would do, you know, because again, if it works for a presidential candidate who is trying to raise his prominence and his stature and become more popular, I mean, I'm trying to do that with this show too. So we've invited Will Todd. Will, hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Will answered our call and he showed up here and he's got, you're a barber, right?
Yes, sir.
You're not just a guy with clippers who follows me on Facebook.
Right.
You're okay, good.
I'm a legit barber.
He's a legit barber and he has a shop that's opening where, in Oakleaf?
Oakleaf.
Okay, good. Is this the first time you've ever cut someone's hair on the radio before?
I think it is.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. It's also the first time I've had my hair cut on the radio before, so this will be exciting. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to just do a haircut. The other Josh will be watching the stream and that kind of thing if any calls come in, and I'll be just answering your questions. Josh, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good. Are there any questions coming in yet?
Yes, Rhonda is curious what you're letting Will do today.
Perfect. Will, what are we doing? You're just going to give me a trim, right?
No, we're going to do some designs.
Okay, perfect. he's going to put Hillary Clinton in the back of my head. Go ahead. Start whenever you're ready. Look, for those of you that don't know and don't understand why this is a thing, for guys, the barbershop, and Will, correct me if I'm wrong, but the barbershop is a lot like the beauty salon or the hairstylist for women. It's a place where guys get together and they chat about things. They talk about sports and politics. And
absolutely.
I mean, you probably know a lot of insight into your customers' lives, right?
Right. Correct. I do.
Yeah. If you've ever seen, Barbershop or Coming to America was another one. These are all movies that are based on, I mean, in fact, you go to the barbershop and the haircut could take 2 minutes. I mean, mine literally takes 45 seconds. But you could be there for 30 minutes just shooting the breeze with the fellas.
Right.
And is there a lot of political talk? Do people talk around the barbershop about politics?
They do, but, you know, we try not to talk about that.
Oh, yeah?
Politics and religion.
Politics and religion. Okay. All right. So I won't be going to your barbershop, but you're welcome. Those are my two favorite topics. But you'll be coming here, I'm sure, repeatedly. If you have a question, by the way, you can call in. You can go to our Facebook page where we're live streaming right now, like Beto O'Rourke. If you'd like to know any of my policy ideas or if you have any questions about the upcoming presidential campaign, anything at all like that. Josh, are we getting any questions from anyone?
We do have one question.
What is
another
the question?
One coming to us from Facebook, and he wants to know if Will does beards.
Oh, Will, do you do beards?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, Will's got a pretty impressive. I meant questions for me, but Will will also answer any personal grooming questions, too. What do you do to beards? Do you just
Trim them up, wash them,
yeah.
We color them.
Right.
You know, pretty much anything you want to do.
Did you hear that statistic that the beard is dirtier than a dog's mouth?
I have heard that.
Okay, all right. Is that true?
I don't know, but, you know, we have beard wash for that.
Oh, perfect. All right. Fantastic. 855-765-1045. As the presidential race continues, with now 23 people. Bill de Blasio, mayor of New York, I don't know if you missed it, he is now officially in the race. He's been trolling Donald Trump on Twitter. He's been trolling Donald Trump Jr. on Twitter. Eric Trump, I mean, he's been talking all about how the Trumps have been basically stealing money from the city. It's so interesting because every time Donald Trump attacks somebody, they make fun of him and they tell him it's inappropriate. But then here you have the mayor of New York, who is probably one of the fifth most influential politicians in the entire country, way more influential than the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. But here's a guy who is openly attacking the president of the United States, a longstanding resident of his city and a taxpayer, openly on Twitter. But no one seems to care about that. So the trolling has been going on for a while. And now the official announcement is here. Bill de Blasio, the 23rd candidate for president on the Democratic side. And his number one look, he is attacking the rich. He's attacking Donald Trump directly. He's attacking Donald Trump's record as not just a president, but as a citizen and businessman in New York. So it's going to get dirty, but it's going to be interesting to see how much he can survive or who will survive, especially with Joe Biden, who maintains his humongous lead over all of the candidates. That's good. That feels good. Now I know what Beto. I'm not even getting the massage yet. I'm still just on the hair part, and it feels good. What is it about like the clippers that on your head that just makes it feel so relaxing?
I don't know.
It's like it's almost like you're getting your head scratched. But oh, do I have ear hair? Yeah, let's get rid of the ear hair for sure. Because that's the weirdest thing. I lose hair on my head, and I get more hair on my ears as I get older. I'm not really sure the reason for that, but it's
the eyebrows.
Yeah, you can trim the eyebrows. I want to look less crazy. Josh, any other questions coming in on our social media? Remember, this is our impromptu town hall, Beto O'Rourke style. Any questions you have at all about the presidential campaign or Jacksonville politics or whatever? I mean, whatever. Just open it up.
Sure. We have a question from Heaven Cat. They're wondering how you can make a design on your hair when there's no hair.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Here's the thing. What?
Sorry.
Is there more?
There's one more question.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Hannah wants to know if they're going to shave your eyebrows off, too.
Well, we're working on the eyebrows right now.
Exciting.
It's more of a trim. Look, here's the thing. Okay, we'll get back to politics in a minute. Let me tell you about hair, because I know there's a lot of bald jokes coming through. I can see them. I can see in the thread. Josh is being nice. The other Josh is weeding through the bald jokes. But look, when you lose your hair, you almost, and Will, again, correct me if I'm wrong, you almost have to get your hair cut more. Because what the little you have looks really puffy, right?
Absolutely.
All right, we got to take a quick break. Get your questions in. You can call us. You can leave us a message on Facebook. This is the Mark Kay Show, the barbershop impromptu town hall, Beto O'Rourke style. More coming up on News 104.5 WOKV.
Y'all got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
We're entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
I can't even begin to describe to you what just happened to me. It was, oh my gosh, the most amazing experience. Now I know why Beto O'Rourke goes to the barbershop to do his job. If you don't get your face wrapped in a hot, steaming, smelly towel and then massage, like pushed so that the massage with the heat going, that's fantastic. Will Todd, bravo. Hey, Will, thanks so much, man.
Absolutely.
Well, that was great. Will Todd came in here because Beto O'Rourke, who I made fun of. I'm going to be honest with you. I saw this and I go, this is not a good idea. This is just silly. He walked into a barbershop, started live streaming on Facebook, and he said, we're doing an impromptu town hall.
Robert, we're live streaming right now, just so that you know, on this camera. I was answering a question about higher education for people on Facebook who kind of doing an impromptu town hall.
Yeah, and the whole time he's got this Latino barber who's walking around and trimming his hair and doing this and doing that and doing the other, and then at the end he gets this little massage from it. It looks like, it looks like a router. The guy takes like what looks like a router, but it's a massage thing, and he starts pounding his back with it, and this is all live again on Facebook.
This feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. And so we decided the best thing to do, because if Beto thinks that it can enhance his image and make him more popular, I thought to myself, well, surely I need my, if anyone needs their image enhanced and needs to be more popular, it's me. So we invited Will Todd from the Will Todd Barbershop into the studio here, and he just did an incredible job. First of all, my hair looks amazing. My hair looks great. I mean, what little I have. But as I was explaining right before the break, it the less hair you have, the more you have to attend to it, because if you have a little bit of hair and it's long, people tend to notice it and you just look goofy and unkempt and crazy. But if you have a little bit of hair and you just keep it nicely trimmed, then you look kind of, Will, would you say that's the case?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, see, that's the case. And guys, if you're struggling, if it's going, right? If the hair is on the way out, if the hair just doesn't want anything to do with you, don't, you know, let it go, you know, don't fight it. Don't beg for it. Don't try to comb it over anything. Just get the clippers and say, hey, you want to end this? Forget it. I'm breaking up with you, and just buzz it all off, because you're going to look amazing. 855-765-1045. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we've got a ton of people who apparently I haven't even been able to read the threads because, well, when you have a hot towel wrapped around your eyes, it's tough to read the comments, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to answer every single one of these. Sieber and Yuli. Sieber, thanks so much for calling the Mark Kay Show. How are you?
Hey, Mark, I'm doing great. I have a question. You said you were talking about anything today. I'm real big in preserving historical monuments, particularly Confederate memorials.
Yeah.
Here in Florida. And, you know, because even the founding fathers are under attack now. So how do you feel about that, preserving historical memorials and cenotaphs?
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like anything with a founding father should be memorialized. I mean, look, we live in Jacksonville. Down right in the middle of Laura Street, there's a huge statue of Andrew Jackson, who is one of the people that is under attack constantly for his role, in Southern America and slavery and that kind of thing. But the fact of the matter is, at the time, the guy was a great leader. He was inspirational. He did things for his country and for his state. And you can't deny that even though the times were different and what we felt was acceptable back then is no longer acceptable, for the time, he was an amazing leader. The most amazing thing to me is Thomas Jefferson coming under attack. And I know that for years people have thought Thomas Jefferson, he wrote the Declaration of Independence. He was third president of the United States. He basically was one of the handful of people who really put together the Constitution and the country the way it is. And he lived in Virginia. He owned a plantation. And at that time, plantation owners had slaves. Why? Well, because that's what they did. I mean, that's how plantations grew. That's how the South thrived. Eventually, and even back when Thomas Jefferson was president, there were people that were anti-slavery. I mean, Alexander Hamilton, very famously, was against slavery. And a lot of the New Yorkers who were part of the Constitutional Convention were against slavery. And they fought to have this in the original draft of the Constitution. You know, that's part of the all men are created equal. And it took a little while longer, but that's what we know. Politics moves slowly. And you can't just erase your history because you don't like it. You can't just erase your history because you don't like what somebody did or said. I mean, I guess you can in some places because they're doing it. But I just prefer they not. Sieber.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're welcome. Hey, thanks so much for calling. We really appreciate it. Look, I went to this is kind of funny because I went to R.J. Reynolds High School in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And back then, I was telling the story the other day. In Winston-Salem, if you've never been there, really, until recently, the only thing going was the tobacco industry, was R.J. Reynolds Tobacco. And when I grew up, I had a good friend who came home, and his father, I called him up. I was like, hey, you want to go hang out? He's like, I can't. I'm grounded for a month. And I go, you're grounded for a month? What happened? And he said, my dad caught me smoking Marlboros. Not smoking, because that was okay, but smoking Marlboros, which was a Philip Morris brand, which was R.J. Reynolds and still is their prime competitor. That's what got you grounded in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So we know all about Southern tradition. Nowadays, they have banking and insurance, and there's a huge hospital there. And as these tobacco companies are getting attacked in court, and as more and more documents are showing that they may have been misleading, or they may have been purposely trying to get young people addicted to replace their diet, you know, all this stuff that you hear. My high school came under attack. Where I went, just because it was named for one of the founding fathers of the city. R.J. Reynolds, Richard Joshua Reynolds, basically founded Winston-Salem and the state of North Carolina, for that matter. You know, Sir Walter Raleigh and R.J. Reynolds are basically the two dudes that made sure North Carolina became a thriving metropolitan state the way it is. Charlotte and Raleigh and Durham and the Research Triangle. I mean, these are important places. And they were founded by guys who sold tobacco. And years later, you know, people realize smoking's bad. Smoking kills. We don't want people getting addicted to smoke. Cancer's horrible. But it doesn't change the fact that these guys had a huge economic and social impact on not just a city and a state, but the entire country. 855-765-1045. Doc in Oceanway. How you doing, Doc?
Hey, man. Good morning. I just heard you mention Andrew Jackson, and I just want to kind of point out to my black folks out there.
Yeah.
If we want to set out these statues, why the heck are so many black women naming their children Andrew Jackson? Are y'all going to tear down those names of the kids? That's just stupid to go back and try to tear down these monuments, because if it's so hideous, why name your child Andrew Jackson? Facebook Andrew Jackson, that's a lot of black kids.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do that from home, because if I do that at work, that, you know, the IT guy comes. He's going to come and talk to me. Hey, Doc, thanks so much for the call. We really appreciate it. Look, I mean, things change in 200 years. Think about just in 20 years. Think about what was acceptable 20 or what wasn't acceptable 20 years ago, or what was acceptable 20 years ago and what's not. Now, look at the Me Too movement in just 10 years. You know, I was watching old episodes of The Office the other day, which 10 years ago when I watched it the first time, I laughed. My wife laughed. We thought it was great. Now I go back and watch some of these things Michael Scott does and says, and I go, oh, my God, how were they able to do that on television and not get ripped off the air? And the reason is because things change. But it doesn't mean that at the time, okay, and now still today, it wasn't one of the best TV shows ever made. 855-765-1045. Another quick break. We got more of your phone calls coming up. It's the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. This is the Mark Kay Show. My name's Mark Kay. 855-765-1045 or *1045. Coming up later today. I totally forgot we have to do What the Bleep. So we're going to... We're so busy getting our hair cut. The other Josh is like, oh, my God, that's right. We totally forgot. We're going to get to that here in just a minute. But and we were joking. We were having a good time with the whole barbershop town hall that Beto O'Rourke decided to do on Facebook. But, I mean, look, a lot of things that you need to realize when you sit back and listen to what he said, and I'm not going to make you listen to it. I've pulled clips so you can kind of hear the important parts. But the messaging, no matter where it's delivered, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's in a barbershop, whether it's standing on a table, whether it's on a pickup truck, whether it's in front of hundreds of thousands of people, whether it's on Twitter, whether it's on Instagram, wherever it is, it doesn't matter how they get the message out. It's the message that you need to be worried about. And this is the message that Beto had in his impromptu town hall at the barbershop yesterday.
Real quick to finish the answer, you know, make sure that everyone can go to community college at no cost. Strengthen the power of unions so more connections between high schools and unions, high school students and apprenticeships.
Okay. Very scary things if you listen to it. The first thing he said was no cost, which we all know is not true. There's nothing out there that has no cost. What they mean by no cost is we are going to divert the cost, or someone else is going to pay for it. We're going to attack people with money. We're going to take their money and give it to the people that don't. Because you can't send somebody to community college or university or any college, anything at all, at no cost. The college needs to pay for the lights. The college needs to pay for the water. The college needs to pay the salaries of the people that work there and teach there, and the college needs to pay for security. All of these things, there's no such thing as no cost. So when Beto O'Rourke sits in the chair or stands on the table, or any of the candidates, when they say, we're going to offer somebody the opportunity to go to college at no cost, that's not what they mean. They mean no cost to them. Somebody is always going to pay for it. Somebody is always going to pay for it, and the odds are it's going to be you. And it's going to be me, and it's going to be everybody else who has a job and pays taxes. The taxes are going to go, the more money you make, the more money they're going to want to give to people so that they can go to community college. And why do they want them to go to community college? Listen again.
Real quick to finish the answer, you know, make sure that everyone can go to community college at no cost. Strengthen the power of unions so more connections between high schools and unions.
Okay, listen to that. He wants to connect the high schools and the unions. He wants to strengthen the unions that we already have. The unions, which is, again, another group of individuals that like to take your money and spend it on your behalf. and they will hold you hostage. They'll hold your livelihood hostage. If you want to go out and be, you know, if you want to be a, a pipe fitter, or if you want to be an auto worker, if you want to be a teacher in many places, if you want any of these professions, which pay good money, they're 9 to 5, they're in demand, they're something you can do for a long, long time, you have to join the union. And the union, they take your money, whether you like it or not. And then they decide how to spend it. They decide what kind of health care you get. They decide what kind of benefits you get or don't get. They pay a bunch of people, lawyers and you know, union chiefs and accountants and all these people. You're not even sure what they do. They have a marketing department. This is all stuff that you pay for as the union worker. So now what Beto O'Rourke wants to do is he wants to blow open the doors of public education, and he wants to invite the unions in. He wants to connect. He wants a connection between high school students and union workers.
Connections between high schools and unions.
So he's basically saying we want the public school system to be the breeding ground for future union employees. Why? Well, because the Democrats run the unions, and they don't want the unions to get smaller. They want the unions to get larger. So Beto O'Rourke is going to give you free high school. He's going to get the union in there, and he's going to say, go learn a skill. Go learn a trade. Go learn how to build cars. Go learn how to be an auto mechanic. Go learn how to be an offshore driller. Go learn something. Go learn how to be a teacher. And where are you going to learn those? Oh, guess what? You can learn them at the free community college that is no cost to you. It costs a lot to somebody else, but it's no cost to you. This is exactly how the socialist system works. This is how the socialist agenda works. You, number one, you control everybody from birth, basically. You control them through school. You have the unions come in and say, here's what you're going to do for the rest of your life. We've decided, and we're going to pay for your education. You're enticing people. You're brainwashing them. If you are going to pay for somebody to become something and then offer them a union job right out of high school, odds are a lot of those people are going to take it because it seems like the easier road to hoe. It seems like the way to go. You know, why would the government let these unions right into our high schools? Why would they let these unions into our high schools if they were bad? I mean, look at all the great things that and of course they're going to send me to college for free. Why would somebody give me something for nothing if they meant me harm? Why would somebody give me something, entice me with something free that I want if they didn't mean me any harm? I mean, look, when you were a kid, what did they say? If a stranger offers you candy, run the other way. Well, in this case, there's no one stranger than Beto O'Rourke, and he's not offering candy, he's offering college. But in the end, it's almost more damaging to our high school students and our young people than if it was just a guy pulling up on a van going, hey, want some candy? Want some candy, little girl? 855-765-1045. So yeah, it's funny that he's getting a haircut and a massage and he's moaning.
It feels good.
Yeah, it feels good. It doesn't feel good because what he's saying is that he wants to get into the White House and he wants to make sure that the unions get into high schools, that you get to go to college for free, that you are beholden to the government, that every good thing in your life you can trace back to the government of the United States. So when it comes time for them to demand something of you, you have no choice. You have no choice but to give it to them. Maybe that's why his ratings are plummeting. Maybe that's why he's in single digits now. Maybe it's not because he's not folksy or relatable. Maybe it's not because he's doing enough town halls or getting his hair cut enough on Facebook. Maybe it's that people are scared of what he's saying. Maybe it's that people really understand what he wants to do to this country, what he thinks needs to be done to this country, and they want the exact opposite. Maybe they see Beto O'Rourke for exactly what he is. The people in Texas saw it. And now the rest of us get to see it, too. 855-765-1045. We got to take a quick break. 855-765-1045. We got some of your phone calls. We got some of your open mic messages coming up. This is The Mark Kaye Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
I've got to get Mark Kaye more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kaye.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
As president, I will take on the wealthy. I will take on the big corporations. I will not rest until this government serves working people.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio throwing his hat into the ring, becoming the 23rd candidate for president on the Democratic. 23 people.
I'd like to throw my hat into the Democratic race. Even though I'm a proud Republican and love Donald Trump, I just like to stir the Democratic pot.
All right, 24 then.
Woohoo! Way to go, Preston! Yeah, man! Battle Royale Fortnite! Yeah!
Yeah, for those of you that don't get the, for those of you that don't get that comment, find a, you find a millennial teenager and ask them what that means. 855-765-1045. Here's how Bill de Blasio led off his presidential campaign.
I'm a New Yorker. I've known Trump's a bully for a long time. This is not news to me or anyone else here, and I know how to take him on.
I have a question for you. Do you want a president who's not a bully? Is being a bully, I know we teach our kids, don't be a bully, don't bully the kids, you know, and being a bully, fine, is a bad thing when you're in school and you're just picking on people to take their lunch money. But do you want a president who's, what's the opposite of a bully? A victim? A pushover? Given the choice between the two, do you want somebody who's going to go into China into a trade discussion with the other largest economy in the world, an economy that has been taking advantage of us for years? Do you want somebody to go into negotiations with a very strong and stubborn communist leader? And do you want that person to be to play the role of the victim, or do you want them to play the person the role of the bully? You know, when it comes to oil talks, or when it comes to North Korea, or when it comes to, oh, how about this, sabotage on oil tankers in Iran? Do you want somebody who's going to just roll over and take it, or do you want somebody who's going to push back and be the bully? I feel like in a president, in any leader, you want that strength. You want somebody who's not afraid to, who's not going to be the victim. Because if you're not the bully, you're the victim. Those are your two choices. 855-765-1045. Anyway, that's what's going on with the Democratic presidential campaign. We are up to 23 and count. Don't think it's over yet. Hey, John in Orange Park, how you doing, John? Thanks for calling the Mark Kay Show.
Hey, brother, I'm doing good. I just want to talk about the pursuit of happiness.
Okay.
And people going to college for free, and they take advantage of their diploma, which that's what they're going to school for, to do well in life and hopefully make buku bucks of money.
Yeah.
Then here comes part two. They're going to tax you like crazy on that. So why even go to college?
No, you're right. Look, here's a college is... College is the next bubble, and I've said this for a while, and you bring up a couple good points. College is the next bubble, much like there was the dot-com bubble and the housing bubble, and then we had the banking crash. College has lived behind this veil of necessity, or this veil of, you know, college has been the end-all be-all for so many people for so long. You know, we always hear, I'm so proud of my son. He was the first generation to go to college, or I want to go to college and make my parents proud. And that was the myth. That was the legend. That was the fallacy for so long in this country. And for a lot of people, it still is. And the immigrant culture coming in. Why do you think colleges are mostly Democratic? Because they realize that the people that have been here for a long time, they're starting to catch on. But the immigrants who come to the United States of America, these are the, you know, the people who are poor and who have never gone to college. They know that they are still this shining beacon of hope, this far off dream that if you come from the ghetto, or if you come from the public housing community, if you come from a third world country, and you get across the border legally or illegally or whatever, and if you somehow end up with a college diploma, that is the holy grail of the American dream. But really, what it is it's a Ponzi scheme. As Bill just pointed out, it is a Ponzi scheme because you have to take out loans for exorbitant amounts of money. And you have to, I took out a loan to fix up my kitchen once. And it was nowhere near what 1 year of college would be. And I almost had a heart attack. And that was for something I use every single day to feed and sustain my life. I haven't used anything I learned in college in 30 years. Yet I paid three times more than I paid for that kitchen. You have to take out loans from institutions that require you to pay them back. And they charge you interest. and there's inflation. So at the end of it all, your $10,000, $20,000, $25,000, even $50,000 college education costs you well over that, $80,000, $90,000, even $100,000 by the time that you're done. It's a Ponzi scheme, and you're right. On the tail end, you get out and you get a job that pays you nowhere near what you paid into the college system. In fact, if you go to Harvard or Yale or Princeton, on average, you are going to spend $125,000 on your four-year education. $125,000. The median salary for a graduate from those schools is $60,000, less than half what you have to spend on that education. And when you take out your bills, your mortgage, your car payment, your insurance, your taxes, you're pulling in what, 20, maybe 15. You pay for some entertainment. You buy yourself some clothes, a nice pair of shoes. You go to spin class. You're down to what, 5,000. You know how long it's going to take you to pay back that college education, making $5,000 to $10,000 of solid income, disposable income that you can do whatever you want with over a year. It's a scam. And people are starting to realize it. And the internet is blowing it up because people are making more money on the internet without a college education. You've got a 17-year-old kid who has an online newsletter with a circulation of 50,000 people, which on some days is more people than watch MSNBC. And he's doing it after his classes on high school before he does his homework. He wakes up at 5 a.m. He sends out this newsletter and he just blew the lid off of Bill de Blasio's presidential bid. He's the kid that cracked the story. And he hasn't stepped foot in a college ever. The bubble's about to burst. The legend is over. You know, it is no longer necessary to go to college. It is no longer the shining jewel of achievement that it used to be. And it's no longer financially intelligent to go to college. Unless, of course, you want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or some kind of politician for the rest of your life. 855-765-1045 is the number. One other thing he said, too, was about the pursuit of happiness, which you have to, people misunderstand that. That's been bastardized. They were you were promised life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You're not promised happiness. You're not promised happiness. You're promised the ability to chase down that happiness. And you better run fast because it's getting harder and harder to catch. 855-765-1045. David in downtown. How are you, David?
I'm doing well. Got a couple of questions for you.
Yes, sir.
So these presidential candidates that have announced that they're going to run,
mm-hmm.
So let's just say they raise $10 million. Their expenses are only $5 million until they decide to drop out of the race. Do they get to keep that $5 million?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a really great question. And that's something that everybody who's donating to a presidential candidate or getting inundated with these emails, that's something you need to know about. I got to take a break because I want to spend a couple minutes. Let's take an early break. We'll come back and I will definitely answer that question for you next. 855-765-1045 is the number. 855-765-1045 is the number. You can leave us an open mic message, too, if you want to. We're going to, like I said, we'll be right back. It's the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV. This is the Mark Kay Show, and my name is Mark Kay. Thanks so much for joining me today. I was just telling the other Josh, what a fun show. Thanks again to Will Todd, who came in here and did a little Beto O'Rourke on me. He shaved my head, he shaved my neck, wrapped a hot towel around my face.
Hey, Mark Kay, did you get one of them hot towels wrapped around your big old bald head? Because I get them wrapped on my big bald head all the time when I get a shave. Pretty awesome.
Yeah, when he did that, we were actually, Candace was doing the news, so that was only on the stream. But if you have a minute, go back and watch our Facebook stream later today. Or I'm sure someone may have clipped it on our Twitch stream because it was definitely, listen to, I don't know if we have it on the podcast, but it was definitely, it was quite the sensation. And I highly recommend a hot towel wrapped around your head. There was some lavender in it or something too. The studio smells amazing. The studio smells just great. 855-765-1045. So just before the break, Dave called and he had a question, a great question, really great question about all this campaign money, because we talk about Beto O'Rourke, who is dwindling. I mean, he's falling. He's fallen hard, man. He's fallen harder than I do on Saturday night after I've had three tall boys. He is in single digits where he was once one of the favorites to win the Democratic presidential primary. You may remember his big, coming out on Vanity Fair, and he had these big rallies everywhere. And, you know, when he ran in Texas against Ted Cruz, he raised $60 million. And we keep mentioning that over and over again. And one of the questions that comes up is, and David brought it up, he said, what happens to the money that they don't spend on their campaign when they drop out. Because you have 23 people, many of whom have raised cumulatively billions of dollars. I mean, what was it? 60 million is what Bernie Sanders raised in like the first weekend. Joe Biden, same thing. There's millions and millions of dollars in these war chests. And we don't know, you know, what happens to the money. Let's say, because these guys are going to start dropping out pretty quickly. And eventually it's going to be down to one. Well, are the rest of them going to spend all of that money? And if not, what happens to the money that people have donated? Bernie Sanders is getting donations $1, just $1 at a time. That's all it takes. $1, whatever you can spend. He's getting a lot of those. You know, $2,700, I think, is the max you can give to any one candidate. And people are donating. And they're going to these dinners, and they're flying around. Joe Biden's, you know, sniffing hair for money. He's opened up a sniffing booth. So you can get sniffed by Joe Biden for like $20, and all the money goes to his campaign. What happens to that money when they inevitably drop out? Well, the answer is they usually keep it somehow. The one big thing is that if they plan to run in the future, let's say in 4 years, for example, Bernie Sanders, he most likely kept his money for a future presidential run or a future senatorial run. If it's a federal election and you've raised money as a federal candidate, you can keep whatever's left over and put it toward a future run. Now, I know what you're thinking. What happens if you don't run again? For example, Hillary Clinton had over $1 billion. She only spent $750 million. What happened to the other $250 million? I guarantee it's sitting in an account somewhere for her future presidential bid or her future senatorial race. She's not checked out of politics for good. She may even declare this time around. We don't know that. And the last thing Hillary Clinton's going to do is give money back to her donors. Now, a lot of times they can do that, too. The money can be given back to each individual donor. You've got to have a record of who gave what, and you can definitely give it back. But that rarely happens because, as you know as well as I do, you know as well as I do that politicians can find a way to spend your money. And they will. Once they drop out of a campaign, it doesn't mean that their costs are done. They've got to wrap up their campaign. They've got to pay off this person and that person and consultants and lawyers. And I guarantee most of them just try their darndest to spend it all in ways, creative ways, that mean they don't have to give that money back and that they can definitely benefit from. For example, Chris Christie, when he dropped out of the race, he asked permission from the state of New Jersey to use the campaign money he had left over to pay legal fees against one of the scandals he was fighting as the governor of New Jersey. And he did just that. It was money given for his campaign, which he was then allowed to use to pay off legal debts. There's tons of different things that they can do. They could donate it to another candidate, and that's something that they'll often do. Or they can donate it, and this is probably what I think in 90% of the cases will happen, is that they will donate the money to the party. Because think about it this way. Cory Booker thinks he's the best man to be president of the United States. But if the rest of the country disagrees and he can't win a single primary and he goes to New Jersey and he loses his own state, he's going to drop out of the race and he's going to have some money left over. Well, if Cory Booker can't be president, the next best person to be president would be another Democrat. So he can give that money to another Democrat, or more importantly, just give it to the Democratic National Committee and they can decide who gets it. And they can dispense it to the candidates they then think, and so on and so forth. So every time a candidate drops out of the race, the Democratic National Convention, I guarantee they get a huge infusion of cash. You know, it's like that game. What's that game with the snake where you eat other snakes and you just get bigger and bigger and bigger? Stream.io or what's it called? Anyway, the Jiggly.io. There's some game out there. It's on the app. My kids love it. And you're a snake. And if you disappear and another snake will come and eat up all your remains and become bigger and bigger and bigger. That's how these primaries work. The money goes into a pool and whoever's left, the bigger snake gets to eat it up. And eventually you got one candidate. Hillary Clinton didn't raise $1 billion by herself. A lot of that was leftover Bernie Sanders money and leftover. I don't think Martin O'Malley raised that much. Anyway, it just gets handed. It's hand-me-downs. But I guarantee the first thing they're going to do is try to find a way to spend it. Yes, they could give it back to the donors. Do they do that? Probably not. 855-765-1045. This is Steve in St. Augustine. Steve, thanks so much for holding. What do you want to say, sir?
Hey, boss, we've spoken a couple times. Man, love your show, first of all.
Oh,
and
good, thanks.
What you were just touching on, ask Corrine Brown what happens to undocumented money. But the question that I had for you is, have you ever had a coach that was a pushover?
No.
You know, Donald Trump is our coach. Donald Trump is our coach. I've never had a coach in my life that was worth his weight in salt.
No,
would let the players tell him how to run the team.
Oh, they get fired. They're the first ones to go, 100%.
Exactly. And you know, when these people are talking about, you know, Trump's a bully, Trump is this, Trump ain't nothing but a coach.
Yeah.
He's running the team the way he sees fit to run the team. And guess what? We're winning. For the first time in a long time, we're winning on this game.
Steve, that's a great example, man. I appreciate it. And that's a great metaphor. 855-765-1045. You know what? Bill de Blasio, he doesn't want to be a coach. He just wants everyone to get a participation trophy. 855-765-1045. Quick break. More of your phone calls coming up. It's the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
I've got to get Mark Kay more time on the air.
Be careful what you wish for, Jacksonville.
You just might get it.
We want us some Mark Kay.
Where entertaining meets informative.
You make it easier to go to work knowing I get to listen to you for 2 hours a day.
Local stories, local issues.
Just call it like it is. You are standing solid on truth. I love your show, brother.
This is the Mark Kay Show on News 104.5 WOKV.
Oh, we got some people online that disagree with me. Tommy from St. Augustine. Hey, Tommy, how you doing? Thanks so much for calling the Mark Kay Show. What's up, man?
Hey, Mark, I just want you to know I love listening to you. Sometimes you make me spew my coffee because you say such funny things.
Oh, good. All right. I appreciate it.
I just wanted to go back to the college thing.
Yeah.
You said something today. I just kind of disagreed because it made it sound like you're saying college is no longer necessary, and I don't think that's what you meant. But, you know, I have five sons, all of them college graduates. Two went to Missouri, one University of Chicago Law School, one mm-hmm. is a minister that went to Divinity School, and then I have a son that went to Cal Arts, and I graduated from Clemson with a civil engineering degree, and all of those things made opportunities available to my kids and to myself that otherwise wouldn't have had, and I think gave us a start that maybe wasn't necessary to continue as a college grad, but it helped us to get started in professions, me as a civil engineer. And also, there's programs out there where anybody can go to school. I went to school under the co-op program where I worked a semester for the Corps of Engineers and
right.
a school semester. And I just don't want to downplay the good that college education's help. As an employer, I hire young men a lot, young women, and the college grad has the advantage over the non-college grad almost all the time.
Why is that, though? Is that in your mind that they have that advantage, or do you see, you know, when you interview them, there's a distinct advantage between the college grad and the non-college grad?
Well, most of the college grads that I talked to, and myself included, and my kids,
yeah.
they have a maturity about them. They worked hard. They had a dedication. They had this drive, and they worked to achieve something. And like for me, I couldn't have gotten my professional engineering license if I wasn't a college grad.
Yeah.
My son could not be a lawyer right now if he wasn't a college grad. My athletic director, basketball coach, and principal son could not have had it without being a college grad. It just shows a part of them that means I'm going to work hard, I'm going to dedicate myself, I'm going to achieve something, and I'm going to be devoted and diligent, and I just see that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's that you can't have it without college. We need more tradespeople. There's no question.
Right. Tommy,
I don't want people to get the message that you're saying college is not necessary.
No, if you want to be a lawyer, college is absolutely necessary. Do we need more lawyers? That's a debate for another day. But if you want to be a doctor, yes, college is necessary. Those kinds of things. If you want to enter the priesthood or become clergyman, then you probably need some kind of additional schooling just so you know about the Bible. But I think a lot of what you're saying is true. When you interview somebody that went to college, you see a maturity in them. You see something different. And that's because they're probably older and they've been gone for 4 years. And also the people that tend to go to college are looking to enter the workforce. That's what college does. College doesn't breed entrepreneurs. College breeds workers. So, of course, when you go to interview somebody, they're going to be a college graduate. And anybody interested in getting a job who goes to interview with you or anyone else, they're not going to have that refined kind of mentality that college gives you. But it doesn't doesn't mean that you can't be successful without college. And in fact, most people that work hard, or a lot of people that work hard and who are self-starters and are creative, find the college to be constraining. And they will leave and they will seek out their own ventures and they will seek out to create their own thing. And they will become obsessed by something else. Most of the tech savvy and you know, titans of technology like Mark Zuckerberg, for example, and Evan Spiegel and all these other kids who create these tech giants are college dropouts. The vice president of our company, the guy who gave me this job, is a college dropout. In fact, I think most of the people we work for are college dropouts. One of them went to Alabama, which is like being a college dropout. So, you know, what I'm saying to you with college is not that it's unnecessary, that it's going to, the bubble's going to burst. And when I started the conversation, I want you to keep in mind, this is the bubble that's going to burst because it is not as necessary as it used to be or as people make it out to be. And the expense is rising of college and the benefit is decreasing. And there are so many more opportunities for you to learn a trade school, online training, on the job training. I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody comes in here with a communications degree from such and such a school and says, I learned about radio in college. I don't want them. I want somebody who's never worked in radio and I want to teach them how to do it. And I want them to do it my way, not somebody else's way. I want them to be a clean, blank palate. I just want them to be like hungry and smart. And that's it. But yeah, people are always going to go to college. The colleges are going to be fine. But what they're going to find out is that there's a point where people are going to stop paying and the bubble's going to burst and people are going to realize I can have a fantastic life and make lots of money and make a difference and make my American dream come true. And I can do it all without owing $150,000 to a bank for the rest of my life. Hey, good call, though. Good question. Good point. I appreciate it. Daryl in Jack's Beach. How you doing, Daryl?
Hey, Mark. Just great, buddy. Thanks for taking my call. I was wanting to talk about college, too, but I'd like to respond to what you said to that other guy real quickly.
Yeah.
I'm one of those guys that didn't go to college. I went to the School of Hard Knocks, University of Hard Knocks, and I've been working with my hands for 30 years. And probably for the last 15 or 20, I've made a lot more money than my high school friends did that went to college. But there is a downside to that, too. I don't have a 401k or all these other things that maybe you would have if you were in a corporation. But I was thinking that getting these units involved in the high schools may not be a bad idea after all. If it could be controlled and legislated, why not bring them in there and let them do apprentice trade schools, just like we used to do with the shop classes, you know, mechanics shop classes and wood shop and stuff.
Why do you need a union for that, though? Why don't you go out and find, why don't you go to Wyckoff's Air Conditioning and say, hey, would you dedicate or donate a couple of hours every week to come teach our kids, HVAC? And then guess what? Guess where those kids are maybe going to go to apply for a job? Wyckoff's Air Conditioning. Why do you need a union to do that? Why can't you just get, an entrepreneur or a small business to come in and work a program like that? I just think that, bringing the unions into the school, there's so much that could go wrong and will.
Well, that's possible, but they already are in the trades too, and there's probably a relationship there where they can bring trades people and instruct too. But yes, there is a concern. You don't want the coyote to watch the chicken coop. I understand where you're coming from.
Right? Yeah. That's great. Hey, thanks so much for calling. We really appreciate that. Look, I was watching Tony Robbins the other day, and there's this baffling statistic that he shared. 73%. Of people, 73% of people that went to college are not working in the area that they studied, okay? Which means 27% of people that go to college actually get a job in the area that they determined they wanted to study, whatever they majored in, okay? So 73%, they go to college, they major in something, and they work in some field that has nothing to do with that, myself included. I'm raising my hand up in the air, all right? Then of that 27% who actually got a job in the field that they spent 4 years and hundreds of thousands of dollars studying, of that 27%, 52% frickin' hate their jobs. So you've got, let's see, half of 27. You've really got 12% of people that go to college loving their life. And the rest of us are either doing something that we wasted 4 years of our time not studying or doing what we studied and just wishing that we could throw ourselves off of a cliff. the college system is broken. And whenever a system is broken, it starts to collapse, just like Beto O'Rourke's popularity. 855-765-1045. All right, quick break. When we get back, we are going to play What the Bleep. We need two contestants. If you want to win a Mark K. Show t-shirt and a News 104.5 WOKV prize pack, get on the horn right now. What the Bleep is next on News 104.5 WOKV. Hey, it's the Mark K. Show. How exciting is it? Wow, I can't believe how quickly this show went by today. I guess when you get your hair cut, that cuts out a lot of time. 855-765-1045. Let's play some What the Bleep, shall we? That's always very exciting. Everybody always loves What's the Bleep. And we've got Daniel on the east side. Daniel, hey, thanks so much for calling the Mark K. Show. How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Thanks. Oh, great, Daniel. You're going to be playing against David today. David, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Mark?
Doing great. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for calling in. David, Daniel, you guys both know how to play, right? We're going to play you a clip from the past week. We're going to bleep out one word. All you have to do is tell us what word we bleeped out. If you get a point, if you get it right, you get a point. Whoever has the most points at the end of the game is going to win a Mark K. Show News 104.5 WOKV prize pack. Does that sound cool?
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Oh, sounds good. All right, perfect. Let me make sure that you guys are both locked and loaded and ready to go. And here we go. We're going to start with you, David, or with you, Daniel, since you were first to call. And I'm going to play the clip. You just listen carefully and tell us what the bleep. Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Oh, hold on. Let me make sure I can hit the button.
As president, I will take on the...
Pardon me. This is Bill de Blasio in his campaign announcement, the mayor of New York, saying he's now going to run for president.
As president, I will take on the wealthy. I will take on the big corporations. I will not rest until this government serves... people.
What do you think? What do you think, Daniel? What was the bleep?
Working?
Working? Let's take a listen and sure. See what... Yeah, it sounds good. Let's see what he said.
As president, I will take on the wealthy. I will take on the big corporations. I will not rest until this government serves working people.
Wow, look at that. Right out of the gate. Coming on strong. Daniel, you got yourself a point. All right, David, you ready for your first clue?
Yeah, I'm ready, Mark.
Okay, this is Kristen Gillibrand. She's on CNN, and she's discussing the recent abortion laws being passed nationwide. Listen carefully and tell us what the bleep.
President Trump intends on Roe v. Wade.
What the bleep, David?
Can you play that one more time?
I sure can. Listen carefully.
President Trump intends on Roe v. Wade.
Destroying? Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a listen and see what happens.
President Trump intends on overturning Roe v. Wade.
That was close. It's like a synonym, yeah. Overturning, but that was close. That's okay. It's still just 1-0. It's still anybody's game. Dan, are you ready for your clue?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go, Daniel. This is Don Lemon on his CNN program the other day discussing his favorite topic, Donald Trump. Listen carefully and tell us what the bleep.
I'm Don Lemon, and you've got to wonder why this president loves to surround himself with strong men, with dicks.
What PG rated?
Yeah,
right?
It's PG. Yeah, it's a total family show, Daniel. What the bleep, Daniel?
Let's try sycophants.
Sycophants. All right. Let's listen carefully. Here we go.
I'm Don Lemon, and you've got to wonder why this president loves to surround himself with strong men, with dictators.
Dictator. I thought that was. Oh, I'm sorry. You got that wrong. You said sycophants. That was a good one. That's all right. Tough one. Still 1-1, or still 1-0. So, David, you could tie it up right here. Are you ready? Listen carefully.
Okay.
This is Mayor. Hold on. Yes, this is Mayor Pete Buttigieg discussing something or other somewhere. Listen carefully and tell us what the bleep.
I am a proud son of, and I am running for president of the United States.
He's a proud son of something. What do you think that? What the bleep, David?
Well, normally he speaks a lot about God, but I'm going to say proud son of God.
Proud son of God. Let's listen carefully.
I am a proud son of South Bend, Indiana, and I am running for president of the United States.
South Bend. Oh, I keep hitting the wrong one. South Bend, Indiana. That's okay. There's still, it's still just 1-0. So like I said, you could still come in at the end here.
Ironic, I'm a proud son of South Bend, Indiana.
That's horrible. All right, Daniel, it's back to you. You can take the lead and win the game if you get this one right. This is President Donald Trump speaking at a press conference. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Listen carefully and tell us what the bleep.
I could them, I assume. If they me, I could them for the same kind of thing. They wouldn't want to do it.
What the bleep, Daniel?
Every one of those bleeps was the same word?
Every one of those bleeps was the same word. Yes, listen again.
I could them, I assume. If they me, I could them for the same kind of thing. They wouldn't want to do it.
I could something stand. Frickin'?
Let's listen in and see if it's frickin'.
I could ask them, I assume. If they ask me, I could ask them for the same kind of thing. They wouldn't want to do it.
It was ask. Unfortunately, that's incorrect. No. But great news, we're out of time, and you have the only point in the game. So congratulations, you win. Nicely done, Daniel. We'll hook you up with that
good
prize pack. Hey, thanks so much for calling. Thanks for playing. Congratulations, David. Go call your mom in South Bend and tell her you apologize. This is the Markay Show. A special thanks again to Will Todd at Will Todd Barbershop for coming in and cutting my hair. Thanks to Beto O'Rourke for giving us the idea. And thanks to you guys for listening. Stay tuned. The news and Rush Limbaugh is next on News 104.5 WOKV.
Waiting on a tax return? Hopefully it ends up in your hands. Fraudulent tax returns due to identity theft increased by 30% in 2023. If you're in a bind this tax season, LifeLock can help. Our U.S.-based restoration specialists are experts dedicated to helping solve your identity theft issues. And all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. So we'll reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. Help protect your information this tax season with LifeLock. Save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/aware.